Tonight's lesson is Biblical Hearing Protection, Part 2. And so let's just jump right into it. And let's do that, let's begin tonight by reviewing the two Proverbs that we considered last week, and then we will jump into a few new Proverbs tonight. So by way of review on this mini-series of Biblical Hearing Protection, last week's lesson was primarily on the importance or the necessity of closing our hearing. There are times when we have to close our ears. The first proverb that we looked at last week was 14:15, Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent considers well his steps. The wise do not listen to every word. The wise do not take in every word, because the wise are looking at their steps, the steps of their lives. They look past, present, and future. And the wise know that words are not just sounds in the air. They know that words, if they are taken in, if they are believed, they become stepping directions. That's why the wise are careful not to believe everything. The wise, well, they read the book of Proverbs, and so they know that words have the power to sow strife, and they know that words have the power to separate friends, and they know that words have the power to destroy or to pierce the soul. The wise know that in a fallen world there are lots of treacherous words floating around out there, and they can harm. They can pierce, they can damage if taken in and believed. And that damage is damage to their processes of thinking. It'll damage the way they understand things if they're not careful. And damaged thinking leads to taking the wrong steps in life. And bad steps lead to bad destinations. That's why the wise are described in this proverb. The implication is that they don't believe every word. And why not? Because they're looking at action and consequence. If I believe this word today, where will that lead me tomorrow? If I give heed to this speech, where will that lead me tomorrow? All right, so the simple, this foolish man is the one who's not, he's not thinking about the destination of his life. He's not thinking about how this speech may affect his thinking, therefore his steps, and therefore ultimately his destination. The wise know that there will be times that they must close off their ears, meaning they're not going to believe, they're not going to take in everything they hear. So there are times when we must close our hearing. The second proverb that we looked at last week was 22:3. 22:3, which says, "A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Well, this proverb tells us that the wise are always guarding their steps, and one of the ways that they do that is that they are looking ahead to those consequences that I've mentioned. They're looking at this relationship of action and consequence, and they can make not predictions of the future, but they can have reasonable expectations based upon how things typically work. And notice that this proverb shows us that the wise have reasonable expectations and can see the evil consequences tomorrow that can flow from evil or careless actions today. So here's what the wise person does. He looks ahead, and if he sees the signs of an ambush, well, he changes the steps that he's walking. He changes the direction of his steps. If the wise can see that believing a word today will lead to sin and destruction tomorrow, what does the wise man do? He hides himself. He takes a position of concealment and cover. He's not going to give himself to that word. It's the foolish man, it's the simple-minded, who just pass on into that ambush, and they're the ones that suffer for it. They're the ones that are destroyed because they're not taking care what they're walking into. But the wise, they learn to recognize these things. They learn to listen carefully. And some words, some forms of speech, it's just like somebody's trying to set a trap. And the wise will recognize it, and they'll turn their steps away. They'll hide themselves. All right? But the foolish just keep walking into it. They just keep walking into a dangerous situation, and then they suffer the consequences for it. So, those two proverbs help us to understand that there are times when it is wise for us to just simply not give our ear to certain kinds of words or speech. Now, what about tonight? Well, for this lesson tonight, we're going to look at one more proverb that will emphasize the importance of closing our ears. And then we're going to begin to look at guarded listening. So that's what we're going to do tonight. The first proverb is going to be another reminder of closing our hearing. And then we're going to have a few more proverbs after that that will encourage us to guard our hearing. All right, so the first proverb for tonight is 17:4. 17:4. Prepare yourself, dear saints in the Lord. This is a hard-hitting proverb. But give your ear to it, and it will be very helpful to you. You may find it to be a very convicting proverb, but if you do, then rejoice in that. If the Spirit is taking this proverb and working it for good in your soul, rejoice, rejoice in that. 17:4 says this, an evildoer gives heed to false lips, a liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. Well, this proverb is like so many of the other proverbs, that if you spend time with it, you begin to see how it's helpful in more than one way. And this proverb is helpful to us in at least two ways. The first way this proverb is helpful is that you'll notice that it diagnoses the soul of the person who listens to false lips and the person who listens to spiteful speech. The kind of words that we take in, the kind of speech that we eagerly give our ear to, that reveals something about us. Our listening habits reveal something about what's going on in our soul. That this is the first helpful thing that the proverb teaches. All right, so at the start, this is a convicting proverb because it's looking at a moment where you have a speaker over here and you have a listener over here. And it's a moment with a speaker and a listener when the words that are being spoken are false and the words that are being spoken are ruinous and destructive. But look carefully at the proverb. It focuses our attention not on the speaker of those things, but on the listener to those things. Do you see where the focus is of the proverb? The attention is on the listener to those things. Now, speaking of the speaker, how would you describe the one who is speaking spiteful, hateful, destructive words? What would you say about that person? That person is hateful, right? He's speaking hateful words? That's a hateful person. That's correct to say. But this proverb puts the attention on the listener. All right, so how must we describe the one who listens to or is eagerly giving his heed to those false lips? How would we describe that person? How does the proverb describe that person? Evildoer. Evildoer. How must we describe the one who listens to and gives heed to those false lips? That person is an evildoer. How must we describe the one who listens to spiteful, hateful, destructive words? That person is a, what does the proverb tell us? That person is a liar. The proverb isn't putting our attention so much on the speaker. It's putting our attention on the one who listens and gives their heed and gives their eager listening to the one who is speaking these ruinous and hateful things. You see what the proverb is doing? It's diagnosing the condition of the soul of the one who loves to listen to that stuff. Now, we understand that evil speech doesn't start in the mouth. Where does it come from? It doesn't come from here. Where does it come from? Your heart, that is, the processes of your thinking. That's where you bring it out of the treasury of your heart. Okay, we understand that. But what else must we understand by this proverb? That giving heed to lies and eagerly taking in hateful speech doesn't start with your ears. Where does it start? It starts in your heart. Evil speaking is what people bring out of the treasury of their heart. But what about listening and giving your eager ear to evil speech? The proverb is telling us this also is proceeding from an evil heart. It is proceeding from a heart that loves deceit. That's hard-hitting. We would normally think of the attention being all on the speaker and his sin, but the proverb is putting our attention on the sin of the listener. So here's a situation with a speaker and a listener. The speaker is giving these evil, hateful, spiteful, lying words, and the listener is giving his eager ear to it. We have not one sinner, but we have two sinners in that situation. All right? So here is a main point. The first way that this proverb is helpful to us, it is a sin to gossip. We're in agreement on that. It's a sin to lie. It's a sin to speak ruinous and destructive, spiteful, hateful words. But it is also a sin to listen to those things. It is also a sin to give heed to and to eagerly take in gossip or lies, ruinous, destructive, spiteful, hateful words. It's the evildoer and the liar who do that. That's what the proverb is telling us. Evil speaking, that is evil doing, but listening to it is also a sin. And it doesn't start with the ear, does it? It starts with the heart. That's where the proverb is drilling down deep into our souls to make us consider. It starts with breaking God's law. Evil speaking and giving our ear to it is breaking God's law. And it's breaking it first in the mind and then in the behavior. All right, so first then. The first way this proverb is helping us is that this is a proverb. You can think about it this way. It's a proverb about hungering and thirsting, isn't it? It's a proverb about hungering and thirsting. The words that we give heed to and the words that we eagerly take in, they reveal something about the hungering and thirsting of our soul. So the one who is hungering and thirsting for the gossip, it reveals something about his soul. The one who's hungering and thirsting for the hateful speech, and the one who just revels in the spiteful and hateful speech, he's hungering and thirsting for evil things. Thus, he receives the title of evildoer and liar. Now, there's a second way that I think this proverb is helpful to us, because I think it's also getting at motivations. Now, we're touching on motivations a little bit, but what moves you to listen to what you listen to? Why do you do that? Why do you listen? Why do you eagerly give your ear to the things that you eagerly give your ear to? What's your motivation in that? We all have a hungering and thirsting in our souls. But the reason that we hunger and thirst is to feed something. Okay, there's a goal or an end. There's a purpose to our hungering and thirsting. All right? In other words, if you want to train for a marathon, you eat to meet that goal, mainly carbohydrates. If you want to be a bodybuilder, you want to eat to meet that goal, you'll probably eat more protein than you'll eat carbohydrates. Your hungering and thirsting will be to meet a certain goal. All right, so think about the proverb now in this second way. What are the motivations? Why do you hunger and thirst for a certain kind of speech? What moves you to want to listen eagerly to one word or another, or to one speaker or another? Put your eyes on the proverb again. What does an evildoer want to do? It sounds like a trick question, but it really isn't. What does an evildoer want to do? He wants to do evil. That's an A+. Gold star. Do his motivations affect who he listens to? He wants to do evil. Do his motivations affect who he listens to? Yes, they do. Why would an evildoer want to give heed to false words? Why does he want to feed on those false words? Because they are fuel for his own evildoing. All right? You feed on carbohydrates to fuel your marathon running. You feed on protein to fuel your bodybuilding. The evildoer here is feeding, eagerly giving his ear to lies and hateful speech. Why? To fuel his own evildoing. Everybody hungers and thirsts for something. We will hunger and thirst for that which we believe will best help us to do what we want to do. We will hunger and thirst for that which we believe will best serve us in meeting the goal that we want to reach. We will seek out that which will nourish our strength to do what we want to do. We'll always do that. The unrepentant evildoer wants to do more evil. So he searches for nourishment to sustain himself in more evil doing. Where does he find his food? At the table served by false lips. Oh, he just gets such a full belly at that. But he's not doing that just so he can have a full belly. He does that so he can have the energy from all of this nourishment, quote unquote, that he's taken in, so that he can continue doing what he unrepentantly wants to do. He sits at the table served by false lips. What about the liar in the proverb? The liar pulls himself up close to the plate filled with the delicious and juicy morsels of gossip and hateful speech for a reason. Why? To fuel his own lying. So the proverb diagnoses sin in the soul on the part of the listener. And I think, secondly, it's giving us a peek into this vicious cycle of sin, feeding sin, feeding sin, feeding sin. The evildoer has a motivation for giving his ear to evil speech. The liar has a motivation, and that is to fuel what they are unrepentantly. All right. So let me ask you this then. Does the sin of false words and does the sin of hateful speech, does it grieve you? Do you hate it? Do you pray that there would be less of it? Well, then begin in this way. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. Do you grieve over your own struggles in keeping the ninth commandment in your soul and then in your mouth? Well, then guard your hearing, not just your speaking. If you want to pursue obedience to the ninth commandment, guard not just your speaking, guard your hearing. Sometimes you're just going to have to shut your hearing off in obedience to the ninth commandment. All right? Because the things that you take in, the things that you eagerly give your ear to, will fuel certain things in your soul. It's just the way that God made us. We're not the exception to that. It fuels certain things. So what must we do in our pursuit of obedience to the ninth commandment? What must we do in our pursuit to honor our Savior with our own words? Well, there will be times that to honor the Savior and to obey His law, we must close our ears and not eagerly take in those words. Well, what do we do now? Because now you've had all of last week and you've had the first proverb this week, warning after warning after warning. Should we just decide that we're not going to listen to anything? Would that be better? After all, there's so much danger out there and there's so much treachery and peril in the words around us. Can we just decide to play it safe and we're just all going to become hermits? And we're not going to be around anybody, and we're just going to separate ourselves from all speech. Is that an option? That's not an option. We have to at times to close our hearing, but we cannot absolutely at all times just close our ears or manage our lives so that we don't hear anything at all. That's not an option for us. The option is that we have to guard our hearing with discernment so that we are at times blocking out and forbidding words from entering our souls, and there are times that we need to be taking words in. So let's think about guarding our hearing and opening our ears, but opening them with discernment. So for this, let's look at Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes healing or health. Well, this proverb, as you might guess, teaches us something, right? It teaches us something. But this proverb also requires something of us. It teaches, it gives us instruction, but it also requires something of us. So let's look at what it does teach. Basically, when you look at it, it teaches us that not all words are bad. It teaches us that not all words are treacherous. But let's look at the first kind of speech in the first half of the proverb. The first kind of speech is like a sword. It's like the piercings of a sword. Now, why is that? Well, the word you'll notice here, there's a word there that says, it's a word in English, speaks. There's one who speaks. That is a particular word to describe the kind of speaking which is rash, or it's careless, or it's thoughtless. There is one who speaks in a careless way. You can note that if you have the ESV, it puts it this way. There is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts. There is that kind of speaking that is comparable to a man who maybe he is in an uncontrolled outburst of violence, and he has a sword in his hand. That's bad. That's a bad situation. The proverb says there's some speech which is comparable to that. No one around this man is safe because he's running around with these thrusting, piercing motions of his sword. Proverb here says there is speech like that. There is someone who speaks like that. They speak with words, or they use their words like the thrusting of a sword. They are rash. They are thoughtless. They are careless with their words. Words can be the result of sinful outbursts. And you would sooner allow a crazy man with a sword in his hand than to be near a man who is thoughtless with his speech. There are things worse than being stabbed. And I think this proverb is getting at it. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. Piercings of a sword. There is, in other words, great harm, and there is great injury awaiting if you give heed to thoughtlessness. The proverb is warning, there is great harm and injury awaiting if you give heed to rash and careless speaking. You would sooner let somebody stab you with a sword than be near someone or give your ear to someone who is thoughtless with their words. But there's good news. Look at the proverb. Not all words are thoughtless. Not all words are treacherous and dangerous. Some words promote health. The tongue of the wise promotes health. So what's the implication about how the wise speak? It doesn't say it, but it's clearly implied. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword. So how do the wise speak if their words promote health? How do the wise speak? Thoughtfully. How do the wise speak? Well, they think before they speak. They think before they speak. They don't let their mouth run faster than their brain. All right? Their words, therefore, promote health. The proverb teaches us that there are rash and thoughtless words that are comparable to a sword held by a man blind with rage or just simply thoughtless about the consequences. There are other words that are comparable to good medicine. All right, so that's what the proverb is teaching us. Now look again at the proverb, and let me ask you this. What is the proverb then requiring of you? What is the proverb requiring of us? Well, the requirement is to recognize the difference. The requirement upon us is to recognize the difference between rash speech and wise speech. Speech that promotes harm, speech that promotes health. We are to recognize the difference. We need to learn to recognize if the words are measured or if the words are exaggerated. We need to learn to recognize and to listen carefully to see if the words are patient or if the words are wrathful. There's a basic way to judge. You can take this judgment, because you may be thinking to yourself, this sounds like this is going to be a lot of hard work. How do I sort through and carefully listen? Well, here is a basic way to do it. Judge whether the words are hateful or loving. Judge whether the words are hateful or whether the words are loving. And by loving, I mean they're submitted to the law of God, because love is fulfillment of the law. Are the words hateful and not submissive to God's word, or are the words loving and a fulfillment of the law of God? Think about it this way. Do the words or the speech conform to the standard of love? Listen carefully. Love suffers long, does it not? Love suffers long. Do the words that you are taking in promote patience, or do they promote wrath? Do the words promote vengeance, or do the words promote trusting the Lord as the one who will deal with wrathful issues? Love is kind. Are the words that you are eagerly giving your ear to, are they mild? Are they gentle? Love does not envy. Judge speech by this standard. Love does not parade itself. Judge speech as to whether it is hateful or loving. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Judge speech by the standard of love. Love is not provoked. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Judge the speech that you eagerly give your ear to by the standard of love. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Judge speech against the standard of love. Proverbs 12:18 is telling us there's some speech that is very harmful and there's some speech that promotes health. We are required, therefore, to discern the difference. How can we discern the difference? Put the spotlight of love on it. Does it obey God's law, or does it disobey God's law? And thus judge whether we ought to be giving our ear to it. Now, you might have a question in your mind. Oh, how in the world did I get from Proverbs 12 to 1 Corinthians 13? Is that right to make that connection between discerning speech and using that standard of love? Well, do you remember how 1 Corinthians 13 begins? All right? Do you remember why Paul goes into this dissertation on love? Listen to the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift, he's exaggerating here, okay, to make a point. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. There was a problem with evil speaking that was rampant in the Corinthian congregation. What's the solution that Paul knew that he had to bring to that church? You've got to think about your speaking in terms of love. You've got to rein in your words and submit them to the law of God. You're not speaking in a loving manner, is the point here that Paul is making to them. All right, so how do we judge harmful speech or speech that promotes health? Well, does it obey God's law? Does it fulfill love? All right, well, the next proverb then, guarding our hearing, is 18:17. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Okay, well, we live in a world where some words are dangerous and some words are helpful and edifying. And we must judge which they are before taking them in. Is the speaker in his words? Are they submissive to the Lord? Are they submissive to his word? Or is this speaker in his words, are they not submissive? All right? Now, well, how will you know? How will you know if the words conform to the standard of love or if they don't conform to the standard of love? What does the proverb tell you will be necessary? What's going to be required on our part to know if the words meet the standard of God's law? You see the word, it's jumping out at you off the page. It's the word examination. Or searching is the older translation. All right? You will know by investigation. You will know by investigation. The proverb speaks of someone pleading his cause. What is someone doing when they plead their cause? They are giving their version of a story. They are giving their version of events. Why is it that they at first might seem right? Because it's the first version you've heard. You haven't heard yet the other side of the story. If it's just the first thing you've heard, it might seem like that's the reasonable thing to believe. But the question is their version true or is their version false? How will you know? By examination. How will you know if the first version that you hear is right? It seems right. Do you know if it's right? How will you know if it's right? You will know it by investigation. In other words, by examining that first version against any other versions or sides of the story. So I think one of the basic points of this proverb is get both sides of a story and don't form hasty opinions. Get both sides of a story or get as many sides of the story as you can and don't form hasty opinions. Speaking of opinions, let me offer you two of my own, all right? I think that I can observe or that I have observed two things in our culture, and I might describe it as our social media-driven culture. I have observed, and I'm giving this to you, this is sort of opinion for you to think about, that you will be judged as hateful if you dare to question if someone is true. You got to prepare for this. The proverb is requiring an examination because we need to be careful. Not every word is good and helpful. But you will be judged as hateful if you dare to question if something is actually true. All right, let us be clear on this, because this is not clear in our culture. But let us be clear on it. To ask if someone is telling the truth is not to accuse them of lying. Does that make sense? To simply ask the question, if someone is telling the truth, to make a proposal of examination is not to accuse them of lying. But if you dare ask a question of an examination type, you need to be prepared that you will be judged as unloving or unsympathetic by daring to examine. Well, how dare you challenge? But that's exactly what the Scriptures require of us. The first person to plead his cause seems right, but only until there is further examination. Well, number one, that's my first opinion. It leads to the second one, and that I think I can observe that there's a severe lack of honesty and fairly examining what people say. There is a severe lack. Because it's judged as hateful or unsympathetic, there is therefore a severe lack of examining words. So what we have is this kind of dynamic. Different sides, different factions form, and they're all yelling at each other, and there's a lot of emotionally charged yelling and emotionally charged accusing, and there's not a lot of careful, patient examination. I don't see a whole lot of that in dialogue around me. In our culture, what I see are a bunch of hasty opinions formed by and based on the testimony of one person or one side of a story, and the winner is whoever can yell the loudest. It's not the one who passes a careful and patient examination. It's whoever can muster the most emotionally charged argument or whoever is yelling the loudest. Well, Proverbs 18:17 gives us some requirements. Dear saints, be prepared. You will be resisted in the world around us if you follow this. So we must guard our ears by examining words. That requires not getting caught up in the emotional aspects of the subject matter or the emotion of the speaker. It requires, if we're going to examine things carefully, because we have to guard our hearing, right? So if we're going to examine things, that's going to require self-control, and that's going to require patience to gather data as best as you can and to make as fair of a judgment as you can. Now, in case you're thinking, wow, that sounds like a lot of hard work. In case you're thinking, wow, that sounds like that's going to require a lot of self-control to not get caught up in hastily formed opinions, you are right. It's going to require work and patience and self-control, but let me give you some motivation to stay at it. Move your eyes back just a few verses to verse 13. 18:13. I hope that this proverb will keep you at the task of doing the hard work of examination. 18:13 says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. You know what jumping to conclusions is like? It's like jumping into a shame trap. That's typically what happens. If you give all of the answers before you really understand the question, oh, the shame you will suffer when the real question finally comes out. What do we say? We would talk about like having egg on your face or something like that. Shame. Folly. You will look like a fool, the proverb warns us. That's typically what happens. You hear one side of a story, you jump to a hasty conclusion, you start answering a matter before you have completely heard it and examined it. And then what happens when the other side of the story comes out? Well, then the one who made the hasty conclusion now looks like a fool. And now shame has come upon that person. So if you form your conclusions before really understanding the matter, where will you and where will your reputation be when it's discovered that you really didn't know what you were talking about. The proverb is warning us that we really don't want to find ourselves in that position. It is best to and listen and make sure we understand something before we begin to speak about it. The person we see here who talks before understanding and who forms a hasty opinion will end up looking like a fool and will be rightly regarded as a person worthy of dishonor rather than worthy of honor and confidence. A fool will believe anything, and a fool will run along with one side of a story. And a fool is the one who will give his responses and his opinions and his judgments without really understanding the matter. But what about the wise? The wise will not form hasty opinions. They will be patient. They will be self-controlled to allow for an examination of the matter. Why? Because the wise are examining their steps. The wise can rightly anticipate. You know, if I jump in and I start running my mouth on something that I don't really fully understand, where is that going to possibly lead me tomorrow? I could look like a fool tomorrow. I could have shame draped all over me because it'll come out that today I didn't really know what I was talking about. The wise are patient and careful and examine. Why? Because they examine their steps. They consider action and consequence. But the fool, what does he do? Well, he just runs headlong into it. He just runs right into that big ambush waiting for him on a matter that he doesn't understand, and he's the one who ends up suffering the punishment because of his hasty opinion. All right? Well, let me conclude then with what I hope will be some encouragement to you, because these are heavy proverbs, aren't they? These are very weighty, very convicting, I hope very thought-provoking. But I want to give you a concluding word about grace. Look at Proverbs 20:12. The hearing eye, or ear, and by the way, our second hymn had a line which referenced this principle. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. I hope that these proverbs that we have covered last week and tonight remind you of the fact that we live by grace. These proverbs are very weighty, and they require difficult things of us. They require that our ear be hearing, and they require that our eye be seeing. What's the good news of Proverbs 20:12? The Lord gives that grace. Right? Is there going to be a hearing ear among us? Is there going to be a seeing eye among us? It's the Lord that makes those things. It's the Lord that gives the grace to open the ear to hear. It is the Lord who gives the grace to open the eye so that it may see correctly. Proverbs 20:12 is a reminder of our dependence upon the Lord. Our dependence upon His grace. So if these proverbs have been very weighty, all right, let them drive you to pray for grace. Let them drive you to pray. Proverbs 20:12 is a precious thing to hold on to. Pray that the Lord would give you that hearing ear, that discerning and careful wise ear, and the careful discerning wise eye that we need. Pray. These proverbs are requiring, we would say, impossible things of us, are they not? They're impossible, except that God would give us grace to obey His Word, that God would give us His Spirit, that we may listen to these proverbs and give ourselves with diligence to obedience to these things that we think about. Our ears need to be hearing in a biblical way. It's dangerous. It's even deadly to have ears that are deaf and undiscerning. Our eyes need to be open. They need to be seeing according to the truth. It's the Lord who grants those things. It's the Lord who grants those things. So pray. Pray that the Lord would give you grace. But I want to say one final word about grace. We of all people have the best of motivations to listen to these Proverbs and to be renewed in a diligent obedience to the Lord. Let me give you a reminder from Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11, which says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." What is one of the ways that we will deny ungodliness? By denying ungodly speech. What is one of the ways that we will deny ungodliness? And we will deny our own sinful lusts by closing our ears to and denying ourselves the indulgence of the gossip, of the spiteful speech, of the hateful speech, of the speech that lies, of the speech that is not subject to the law of God. We will deny ungodliness by controlling the way that we listen, by controlling what we give our ear to. We will deny worldly lusts. We will live soberly. We will live righteously. We will be living godly in the present age in many ways, but in particular in the way that we guard our hearing. But we have the best of motivations to stay at that. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And then he goes on, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. We, as a people, when we are either closing our hearing or we are carefully guarding our hearing with all of those necessary filters in place, we are, while we are doing that, we're doing it with hope. We're doing it with hope. As we guard our listening, as we are denying ungodliness, as we are denying worldly lusts, as we are living soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, we do so looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not to engage in this careful task of listening so that we might earn God's favor. We do so because we rejoice in having it already. Who is it that has appeared? And what has he brought to us? He's brought us grace so that our ears will be open, so that our eyes would be open. Therefore, when we are giving heed to these Proverbs, we are taking our ears and we're taking this precious gift of hearing according to truth, a precious gift that God has given us, and we're returning it to Him as an offering. We are returning it to Him as an offering full of thanksgiving and full of praise for His grace that has come to us. So listen. Listen carefully to the words and the speech that come to your ears. Remember that we are listening while looking for the blessed hope and appearing of our Savior.